Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 24th day of August, Anno Domini 2024, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to...
Wow. How do you do that?
Magic, isn't it?
Are you throwing your voice?
It's happening twice.
Now we sing the harmony part.
This is a system so nice, we do it twice. That's how that works.
Yeah.
It is Saturday, the 24th day of August, Anno Domini 2024, and you, you lucky people, you're listening twice to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
No, I forget. That was my mistake. He always puts it in. I forgot to change one mode.
Okay. That's it, Dave. You're only getting paid half as much as we usually pay you.
That's right.
Again?
We're docking your pay. It's 6 minutes after the hour, and we're going to be bringing you... Well, before I say that, I should tell you that Steve Ray is not, in fact, one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest. Steve Ray is emceeing the Ed Van Wagner Memorial Model Show.
Yeah, cool.
Air show.
Down in Palmyra, right? Or over in Palmyra?
Yeah.
Palmyra.
I was just listening to that the other day. I'm very much into Close Harmony.
Sure.
So Creedence and
of course,
you know, Home Free and
yes,
the Who and all of that. I just
can't get enough.
WHO, the H
little
H-U.
Bit of Bee Gees, maybe
a little bit of Bee Gees. Mm-hmm. Mamas and the Papas is
of
where
course.
I started.
Yes.
With Close Harmony. I mean,
Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond doesn't do Close Harmony by himself, but
no.
I've heard him sing with other people.
Yep, be cool if he did, though.
Close Harmony, I love that.
Yeah, he did that one in The Jazz Singer where he sang with the other woman.
Yep.
That was a nice one.
So
nice
he's out there emceeing that event?
Yes, he is emceeing the Ed Van Wagner Memorial Model Air Show. There's a link to it on our homepage, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. It's today and tomorrow, and you can... you can see all the cool stuff that they're doing there. I won't go through it all, but if you're all into model airplanes, that's the place to be this weekend, and Steve is emceeing it. So Dennis what? Has graciously consented
hello, hello?
To take time off from saving the free world.
Yeah. No, well, I mean...
Or at least some small corner.
I usually take Sundays off, but...
Yeah. Yeah. He was taking Saturday off today to help
that's
us.
Right. The lawn is mowed, so now I can do this.
Right.
So you look like you might have some news.
I do have some news. Google has rolled out security fixes to address a high-severity security flaw in its Chrome browser.
That's good.
It's not bad that it said had come under active exploitation in the wild.
That's bad.
That's bad. The vulnerability has been described as a type confusion bug in the V8 JavaScript and WebAssembly engine. That's also bad.
Okay, good. Thank you.
The Microsoft Threat Intelligence Center, or MSTIC...
Ooh.
And Microsoft Security Response Center, or MSERC, have been credited with discovering and reporting the flaw on August 19th. No additional details about the nature of the attacks exploiting the flaw or the identity of the threat actors that may be weaponizing it has been released, primarily to ensure that the majority of the users are updated with a fix. Google, however, acknowledged in a terse statement that it's, and I quote, aware that an exploit for this vulnerability exists in the wild, end quote.
Yes, we are aware.
Yeah. It's out there. You're getting hit.
Yeah, we know.
It's worth mentioning this vulnerability is the third actively exploited type confusion bug that has been patched in V8 this year. JavaScript is not secure. Google has so far addressed 9 zero-days in Chrome since the start of 2024, including 3 that were demonstrated at Pwn to Own 2024. Users are recommended to upgrade Chrome to mitigate potential threats. The upgrade should be already available for Chrome on Linux, Mac, and Windows. You've probably gotten told it's available, if not nagged, if you didn't do it.
Right. And if not, you should just restart Chrome, and it will probably apply it, because I imagine it's downloaded it in the background.
Users of Chromium-based browsers such as Microsoft Edge, Brave, Opera, and Vivaldi are also advised to apply the fixes as and when they become available. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Google Chrome has another high severity flaw. And your choices are, really? You shocked me. I'll update immediately. I've already updated. Think I'll wait. I only ever use Firefox. And going commando, baby. So far, we've got 28 votes. 10 of you have already updated, 8 only ever use Firefox, and the other 9 are around the other three of the other choices. Think I'll Wait got 0 choices. Excellent.
Yeah, that's the least.
Excellent. So give us a call if you've got questions about that or dang near anything that involves computers.
How do they reach us?
585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Sorry, what?
You got all those memorized. It's incredible.
I say them every week.
I have to look up at the little sheet that has the little cheat, the numbers on it, to make sure I'm saying them in the right order.
I'll let you in on a little secret. Every once in a while, I try to say the phone number from our old station.
Uh-oh.
Then I look up. And I go, 585, no, 966-JAZZ.
So the other station is just getting nonstop computer questions.
Computer calls.
Hi, I'm having a problem with the...
And the problem I have here is he put it in this little vinyl cover.
Oh, yeah. To protect it.
Yeah.
It's like a sneeze guard.
And the problem is,
like a salad
with
bar.
The lights that glare on it,
yep.
It's hard to see the darn number.
Yep. You got to move your head all different ways, like you're looking through blinds or something.
Especially the 800 number, I got to go, kind of.
But we figured it out, people. Believe it or not, we can figure that part out, and if you call us, we'll try and figure things out for you, too.
We can figure out the phone numbers. They're also on our website at soundbites.org. They're also on the Jazz 90.1 website at jazz901.org.
That's right.
So you have no excuse for not calling in. Absolutely none. We'll take any computer question. We
are ready to believe
them.
You, as they used to say.
This flaw business. One of the issues with almost any computer system is the fact that you're not alone out there, right?
Yeah.
You have extensions. Let's say Google does everything right with Chromium.
Sure.
Everything. It's perfect. Let's say they did that. I read science fiction, I might as well write
Dave.
It. So
and then?
And then the problem is you put it on your system. And then you add stuff to it.
Sure.
You add extensions. Use JavaScript.
Things that Google didn't make.
Things that Google didn't make. And if they've got a problem, you've got a problem. I've talked about this before. I had a friend who called me up. He was very angry with me. Actually, this was at a Rochester Google's meeting. He was very angry with me.
Okay.
Because I had recommended a Chromebook and how secure they were and how safe they were.
Okay.
And his machine was screwed up beyond belief. I said, show me the machine. He had it with him. He opened it up as a Chromebook, opened up the browser, and there was literally an inch of space at the bottom where you could see things.
All toolbars.
Everything else was toolbars.
Fun.
I said, you added
toolbar.
All of these. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did, because they don't appear magically.
Right, right. And
so
Google
somewhere,
didn't do it.
Well, mostly... He had a lot of, oh, that looks cute. Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Don't you want to be notified when?
Right. Or he downloaded some other piece of software and just got click happy.
Sure.
Next.
Yes, right. When, and didn't uncheck the little checkbox that says, hey, wouldn't you also like us to install?
Yep. And so I went through each one of the...
Super Mega Weather Finder.
Exactly. And I went through each one of those things and said, do you use this? No, I don't even know what it is. We'll get rid of it.
Yep.
How about this one? We'll get rid of it. I got rid of all but one.
Okay.
And now we had a usable system.
Now
again.
We had a browser window that you could actually see the content in.
Right.
What a concept.
But, you know, it's not Google's fault that he put all those toolbars on his Chrome browser. And who knows what half of them were doing.
Sure.
Because you don't know. I was talking to somebody else about that. They were saying, I found all these great sites on the dark web.
Oh, yeah?
To download movies and TV shows and books. And
Kind of smells like a trap, doesn't
it? Okay, first...
Reel that sucker in.
Yeah, first, all of that's illegal, so don't tell me.
We can't recommend that.
We can't recommend that. I won't lead people around the dark web. I learned a lot about the dark web for my job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I didn't, not to, you know, go in, although, yeah, okay.
Research,
so,
not
research,
yeah, not exploitation.
Right. But, you know, I did find how easy it is to find that stuff and how easy it is to download it and how very, very, very much of it is infected.
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't it be?
Why wouldn't it be?
99% of it.
And the other part of it is half the, Steve has talked about this as well, half the Tor nodes out there are run by the government.
Okay.
Or by other organizations. So, and I've told this story too. I got a notice from one of the Hollywood studios, and I thought, my big moment at last.
Yes.
I'm going to be a star.
That's right. Finally.
Finally.
You're going to play Jack Black's dad.
Quit your job. Come to Hollywood. Turned out I was being sued for downloading a movie illegally.
Well, that's not the legal agreement you were hoping to sign.
It's not the one I was hoping to get. let me hasten to say I did not download a movie illegally.
Okay.
What happened was... And I said, what movie did I download?
Yes, what is their claim?
Happy Gilmore. If there's any
Adam
movie
Sandler?
On earth I'm going to steal, that is not only at the bottom of the list, it's
nope.
under the list.
No, the price is wrong.
Yeah, I am not a fan of Adam Sandler. I know he's big and hot and wonderful, and I'm just not a fan. At any rate, what happened was, they said, well, we traced the IP address, we got the MAC address, we called our IT. They said it belonged to you. I said, okay. Technically, every computer in the business school belongs to me.
Right.
They're all registered to me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So why don't you tell me the MAC address?
Right.
So, and I'll go find the person who actually downloaded the movie.
Yes. Find which neck to ring.
Exactly. Turned out it was a student we had loaned a laptop to.
Of course.
Because he needed... We have... software like Bloomberg and a couple of others
sure.
that are it's thousands of dollars a piece.
Yeah, right.
But we have X number of licenses,
mm-hmm.
and we have X number of machines we can put it on. So this kid was doing a thesis thing, and he needed, not a thesis because he was a freshman, but a research project,
okay.
and he needed Bloomberg, and so we lent him a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, well, if I download movies...
I'll never be caught.
I'll never be caught.
Or it could be somebody else who did it.
This is a school's computer, not mine.
Right. So, needless to say, we caught him. And what happened was, you know, we talked to the lawyers and we did this whole thing. And eventually what they decided was they would put a letter in his permanent record.
Okay.
And if in the 4 years he was at RIT, he never had another infringement.
And be expunged.
They could rip up the letter.
Yeah.
Otherwise, anytime somebody asked for his school transcript, goes out to get a job,
it goes
with this is going to go with it. Say, a kid's a thief.
Hmm.
So, and they found it out because they run Tor nodes.
Yeah.
So they know when people are stealing stuff.
Right, right. The good guys are running some of the parts of, they understand how the bad guys are doing the thing.
Right. And you know, I was telling this person.
Undercover.
What do you mostly download? They said books. I read a lot of books.
Okay.
And I can't afford to pay for books. I'm out of work, whatever. I said, okay, what kind of books do you like? Science fiction.
Okay.
Okay.
Good news.
The Bain Free Library, BAEN. And that's also a link. May well be on our homepage still at the moment.
I haven't heard about this one.
Oh, yeah, the Bain Free Library. What happened is Jim, I think it's Jim is his first name. Anyway, Bain, the guy who runs Bain Books, publishes science fiction.
How do you spell that?
B-A-E-N. It's on our homepage.
B-A-E-N. Okay.
It might be Bean, but I think it's Bain. And what he did, what he did was he went to all of the authors he's contracted with.
Okay.
And said, look, this is your first book. You've made a bucket load of cash off it.
Right.
How about offering it for free? And a whole bunch of authors said yes.
Yeah, why not? It gets them to go read the other books he writes.
Right. And a lot of them, being smarter than the average bear, put out the first of a series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. Right? Give you the first one for free.
Exact. First taste is free. But at any rate, the point is, you have fantasy and science fiction and all that stuff up on the Bain Free Library. You want to read science fiction and fantasy for free? That's the place to go.
No problem.
Get it legally.
Yeah, absolutely. Not to mention, this may not have existed at the time that you were having this conversation with the person, but I am a strong supporter of public libraries.
Oh.
And the opportunities that public libraries have now, you don't have to walk on the sidewalk and go walk in and peruse the shelves. You can search things not only without even leaving your house through their website, but many times if there's an ebook version, you can literally check that out.
You can check it out
without ever getting
up
out of your chair.
Right, you can use Libby.
Yes,
and there are several others, and I mentioned those to them, and I said, look, I understand you have the same kind of mobility issues I have.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to the library.
No,
you can log in. And do it that way. All you have to do is have a library card, which you can also get online.
Yes, for free.
For free.
You don't even have to talk to a person.
Exactly. And if you're into some of the older stuff, there's the Internet Archive.
Yes.
So you can read a lot of stuff off of that. There's so much free. And by the way, you can rent movies. I think you have to go in to get a movie from the library.
I haven't tried it.
But you can do that.
They have DVDs and such, yes.
You can get movies from Internet Database.
That's right.
The Internet Archive, I mean.
The other thing that I've done, we broadcast out of Rochester, New York in the United States, and we are in Monroe County in New York. Monroe County has a wonderful library system that I'm pleasantly happy to support. And I have had wonderful interactions when I do go meet people, but on days when I don't feel like going and meeting people, I do have the ability to take out ebooks, like we talked about before, but because I'm also a resident of New York State, you can also get an e-library card to the New York Public Library. If you've ever seen that show Between the Lions on PBS, this is the actual place that has the lions. This is what it was based on. And they are the gigantic library in New York City.
Right.
And they also have the ability to get an e-library card, and their collection of ebooks completely dwarfs the selection that we have.
Anybody's, yeah.
And again, you don't even have to get up out of your chair to pick it, have it delivered either to your phone, to your laptop. You can have it pushed to your Kindle if you want to read it on an e-reader.
Right.
And you take it out, they give it to you for a certain amount of time, and then you don't have to drive anywhere to return the book. There's no overdue fine. There's nothing like that. It just magically disappears at the end of your checkout. If you need to renew it or extend it, you can do that. It's just one of the things about living in the 21st century that I really appreciate. So there are opportunities to make use of things that you're already paying for with your tax dollars, and you might as well. So definitely sign up for these things. It's easy. And I think my wife told me it's not just the NYPL, but you can also get something like the Brooklyn Library, and there are other library systems.
Any library in the New York State library system
that agrees to support you, then definitely make use of that.
And so what's nice is they do have a limited number of books. So a limited number of licenses, essentially. So if you want this ebook, if they have two licenses and Dave and Dennis have already taken them out, I have to wait.
Yeah.
But they have way more than two. But the point is, they're going to read it in a week or two, and it'll be free again, and I'll be on the list, and I'll get it.
Yeah, and you'll get notified saying, hey, by the way, this book you wanted is available for you. Would you like to take it out? You click the button, poof.
But like Dennis said, every library in New York State is in the system. So if the New York Library is out of licenses, try the Brooklyn Library, try the Rochester Library, try the Buffalo Library.
And Libby will do that. It will search all of them at once and say, oh, well, it's available here. Oh, this one's out. Nope, no dice. Hey, go for it.
Libby is an amazing little product. It's an app for your phone. I honestly, that's a good question.
Let's find out. Soundbites is a place of learning. We can all learn things here.
We can all learn things here. What the heck is going on here? Oh, I see. I'm on this keyboard.
Ah. Too many keyboards.
Okay, so Libby.
So you get that for your phone, I know, is primarily how it's used. Also for tablet devices.
All I want to know, help me out here, all I want to know is where can I get it?
Okay. He's perusing the page. The app itself? The App Store, of course.
No. I know I can get it from the App Store. That's not the point. The point is, what systems will it run on?
What is it compatible with?
I think it's just Android and iPhone.
iOS, I imagine.
Yeah.
For starters.
Well, I just wondered if there was a version for desktops.
I don't believe so.
No, it doesn't seem so. You can download it from the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, and the Amazon App Store.
If any of our listeners know better than us, please call in and educate us and the rest of the listening audience.
Oh, and magazines.
Sure.
You can get magazines, too. I keep forgetting that.
Magazines?
Go ahead.
Color photos.
Yeah, most of them. Matter of fact, my wife just got...
Audiobooks.
All day long. My wife does nothing but Libby audiobooks.
But just got a flyer or, it's a sample of People magazine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she looks at it and she goes, they just won't give up, because they keep sending her.
Yes.
And she pulls it out and the thing was so small.
It was thin.
She goes, it's not even worth it. There's hardly any content in it. But it's like, and that's the whole thing. Even our newspapers nowadays, newspapers and all that, they've jacked the prices, but most folks are going to read it online.
It's the true. Real problem with newsprint these days is that it's no longer up to date. By the time they publish it, 50 news stories have happened and you can read them online.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What works for newspapers is local.
Yes.
Yeah. Local people doing local stuff, saying local things.
Right. I'll tell you the other thing that the newspaper does that the web can't, or at least isn't, doing.
Right.
And that's tell a story from beginning to end without interrupting it 5 times with ads.
Well, exactly. And that's
and
the beauty.
And pre-roll and post-roll and everything else. Or the website that has the gigantic headline of so-and-so did this thing, it's a horrible or amazing, and, either that's horrible that happened, or, oh, my goodness, that's fantastic. And then they proceed to give you 2 additional sentences, and then the rest is 18 ads, and you're like, well, where's the news? Newspapers actually will tell you the whole story with some context, and unfortunately, the web... Especially, I'll call out some of our news sources here that are television stations that want to run quasi-clickbait articles that just have 2 to 3 sentences. And maybe that's all the details they have at that time.
Right.
But, man, this sure is light. And it takes 10 seconds for the page to load because of all the ads.
Well, and also it used to be that, that newspaper people were investigative reporters.
Yeah, no, it was a respected profession to be someone who was investigating and could communicate well.
And there are many fewer of those than there used to be.
And people
what we're
in
left
general,
with are news readers.
Sure.
It's the nature of the business. Everybody needs to be first. Everybody needs to be.
But investigative journalism takes time and takes resources, and those are the 2 things that eat into profits, whereas if I can just grab your attention and sell you a new pair of shoelaces while I'm giving you news about your local elections, then that's the way they want to go.
All right, that music tells us that this segment is over, but we have a lot more sound bites coming your way. We've got a special interview with Dan Lyon, who is the... person at Lifespan. That's going to be pretty interesting. We'll talk about more on that when we come back. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have Ken from Greece, New York on the line. What's up, Ken?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Loving what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I have a problem where, it's only on my laptop, and when I go into the bar on top of the search, it always gets hijacked by Yahoo, and I've tried everything to get rid of it.
Okay.
Okay, what operating system are you running?
I'm sorry, what?
What operating system are you running? Is it Windows?
Yeah.
And what, I'm assuming you're actually talking about the browser. What browser are you using?
Well, my default browser is Google. I've changed it everywhere I could change it to Google. I've changed it to Google, but it's... Yahoo still...
No, I'm not talking about the search engine. I'm talking about the browser you use to get to the search engine. Is it Edge or is it Chrome?
Oh, I'm on Chrome.
Okay. So in Chrome, you get to pick what the basic search engine is.
And the Windows updates loves to change it.
So what you do is in Chrome, in the browser itself, you know, the place where you have your search bar there, up at the top of the screen, on the far right is three dots.
Yep.
If you select the three dots and go to settings, you'll see a new search bar that says search settings. And you type in the word search. Farther down the page, you may have to scroll. You'll see a section called Search Engine. And yours probably says Yahoo.
Wait a minute. So under Search Settings, and what?
If you're in Search Settings, click in that search box and type the word search. I realize we're using search a lot. And when you and then hit enter, and you'll see a bunch of stuff. If you scroll down the page, one of the little headings, you'll see you and Google, you'll see speed, you'll see search engine. In the search engine box, you should see Yahoo. And to pardon?
Nope, it just says Google.
And Yahoo still hijacks it.
Yep.
Extension? Browser extension?
Got to be extension.
Okay.
I looked at extensions.
Nothing exciting in the extensions list? Or what kinds of extensions do you have installed?
I hate extensions, so not very many.
Okay.
I have none.
Okay. Zero extensions. If you go to a different browser, do you get the same results? Like if you used Microsoft Edge? Does it also want to go to Yahoo?
You know, I haven't tried that yet. I should...
Okay.
Right as I started talking to you guys, I was like, oh, crap, I gotta try Firefox.
Sure, yeah. Any other browser? That might help us narrow it down if it's something specific to Chrome or if it's something possibly... bigger than that.
So you're saying that your search engine is defaulting to Yahoo, you want it to search to Yahoo?
He says it's defaulting to Yahoo, and he'd prefer that it didn't.
All right. What you do is, all right, on a blank page in your browser, okay, go to you see in the upper right-hand corner of the three dots?
Yeah.
All right. Scroll down to where you see settings. Click on settings, and then you'll see over on the left-hand side, search engine. You can select that, and then it'll have one that's, say, selected already, but you can say change. And they have a bunch of different search engines that you can select. Yahoo is one of them. Instead of Google.
Here's something funny. When you go to site search, it brings up some other search engines. And there's three instances of Google on here, but it's got the Yahoo emblem next to it.
That is a little funny.
Yeah, there is a some malware that will do that, and I'm in the process of posting a link. I beg your pardon. I'm in the process of posting a link on how to delete that.
Excellent.
Okay.
So you'll be able to get to that, Ken, by going to the soundbites.org webpage.
Yep.
Bites with a Y.
Right.
And okay. Currently the top link is how to remove Yahoo search from Chrome.
Awesome. So, yeah. Thank you so much for your help.
No problem. Good luck. Have fun.
Check that out.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye. Yep.
Yeah,
we tried the easy stuff first. But
always try the easy stuff first, and of course, there's 50 different ways to do something.
Of course.
So,
especially in Chrome.
Especially in Chrome. So I understand that there would be an issue, but there is a virus, and I don't know if Yahoo. I don't think so. Put it out, or I don't know why it exists. Frankly,
I'm guessing there's some sort of adjustment you can do to the ads, or some type of kickback you can get.
Oh, a kickback is likely if Yahoo gives you a kickback for ads. So when you show them the page, you add your associate ID to every one of the...
Maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just following the money.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, 99.999% of the time, that's the way to go. So, yeah. No, I get that.
All right.
So there's a real issue, particularly under Windows, that it is so easy to get infected. You should be running an antivirus program, an anti-malware program, an anti-spyware program. And even then, even with all of that, you can get hit through a malicious ad or clicking on something you shouldn't have or whatever. So be diligent. Always run your antivirus program regularly. Many of them, if you've paid for them, they automate the running.
Yep, right.
But every once in a while, run it by hand and look at the results in front of you. You'll find that a little bit of due diligence goes a very long way.
That was a caller that was, and we should state that there is no live streaming here in the studio, as we indicated at the beginning of the show. Steve is off today doing the Palmyra Air Show. So streaming isn't done, but he had a very important question.
Okay.
He wants to know who Francis is with a Y.
Wouldn't we all like to know that? Here's
that's
the problem.
That's what I told him.
You know,
here's the problem
I've
with
been
Francis.
Coming here for years, and I don't know that story either.
I don't remember. Way back in the beginning of Soundbites, when I first set up the website, so that's 30 years ago, easy.
Yeah.
I got an email from Francis.
Okay.
And it said it was very angry. She had been
you
searching.
Attract all these angry people.
This is
your second angry
people.
Person story of the show here.
She'd done a whole bunch of searching for soundbites. There's a whole bunch of soundbites on the web with
I'm
an
sure.
I.
Of course,
there used to be at least back in the day. I don't know if they still are.
See, that's it's the pun. That's why it's
right. Right, it's
that's
a pun.
Why the name
but,
is the name.
But there used
the
to be a sound effects company.
Sure.
There used to be another company that did sound bites for news shows.
Yes, TV news.
Right. And a couple of others that did that. And she searched all of those and didn't find us. And then accidentally found it. I don't know if she mistyped it or just, I don't know how she found it. She was angry that we weren't telling people it's bites with a Y.
She improved her search terms.
So from that day, I started saying bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. But I never kept the email.
Oh, no.
So I don't know who Francis is. And Francis, if you're still out there, I apologize.
Call in.
Call in and let us know it was you.
World famous.
Perhaps even galactically famous. We go out into the stars.
That is true.
Yeah, but that's who Francis is. Francis is the unsung hero, the unknown hero.
For decades.
Helping other listeners find the Soundbites website.
Right, right. All right. And we'll go to the phones. Our next caller is Henry from Rochester, New York. What's up, Henry?
Good day, gentlemen. Going back to your discussion of free audiobooks, I just wanted to add that there is an option for those with visual or physical handicaps from the Library of Congress.
Excellent.
Right.
It's through the state. There's a state. Each state has their own version of the library. You sign up for it as long as you can qualify. You start out. They'll ask you what you're interested in. You know, history, science fiction, biologies, whatever. And they'll start sending you cartridges that have a selection on. Now it's in a special format.
Okay.
But they will provide you with the reader.
Interesting.
Oh, nice.
It's all free.
Amazing.
So and then once you get past, you say, oh, I don't want them just sending me things. You can go online. They have a system called Bard, B-A-R-D.
Okay.
Oh yes.
That you can go into the collection and browse and pick out your books, download them to your computer. All you got to do is be able to unzip them, put them on a flash drive, stick that into your reader, and you can play them.
That's amazing.
Cool.
And then,
there's more.
The last few years, they now have it that you can download it. Download an app to your iOS device or your Android device. Download the books directly to that device and play them right there.
Cool.
Wow. It sounds like it's really come a long way.
That opens up the world, quite a bit of the world, to the visually impaired. I mean, I worked with, the group for many years when I had my business and setting up the Braille readers and everything else. And, you know, that was one of the things that I really enjoyed was really getting computers into those folks' hands. Because, matter of fact, I had one gentleman, his name was Les, and he had so many macros. I think it was a toss-up between him and the late Esther at WXXI.
The great Esther.
Who had the more macros
and
setting up their keyboards? Because he was great at it. This was Esther.
I have put a link on our website to the Library of Congress audiobooks. Thank you.
Yes. I mean, in the last few years, I've noticed that more and more what you're getting from the Library of Congress is exactly the same audiobooks that you'd go if you bought it from Macmillan or whoever.
Yep. Right, right.
Yep. Producing them, giving them to the library, giving the Library of Congress the access to them, they're converting them to their format and send them out.
Yep. It used to be that most audiobooks were read by computer synthesis.
Right.
And
Or by individual studios, individual actors, yeah.
Right. A lot of them were voice synthesis, and they were terrible.
Yeah.
And then you get voice actors who are okay at it, and voice actors who are good at it, and voice actors who are great at it.
Yeah.
And it's finding the great ones that makes a book interesting.
And then some are done almost as a performance with multiple people,
multiple
more like
voices.
A radio play.
Right, right.
Than a straight on narration.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's the good stuff right there. Excellent choice points, Ken. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, guys. Have a good day.
You
yes,
too.
You too.
Yeah, it's an amazing amount of stuff out there that we don't think about that we have access to that we don't take advantage of.
Absolutely.
You know, when
prepaid by your tax dollars and everybody else,
and
all
just think of how much that has come in, say, the past 10, 15 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for a while, many people were struggling to find, you know, you'd find one or two books here and there. Now,
right.
I mean, it's so vast, it's unbelievable. You could live a lifetime and not hit all the audiobooks.
Well, exactly. You know, I can't tell you how many books I have in my reader now. I have a Books, B-O-O-X, Poke 5, P-O-K-E 5. It's a little e-paper
right
reader. It's
I think you showed it to me.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, good.
It's wonderful. But I can't tell you how many books I have that I haven't read yet. You know, it used to be at home, I'd have the pile of unread books.
Yeah, okay.
Now it's a list of unread books.
Well, that's the other advantage. Like, I've got the Amazon Prime.
Yep.
Yes.
And I wound up getting the wife, Nancy Pelosi's newest book.
Okay. Yep.
But they also have it for Prime users. You can get it for free.
Yes.
Nice.
So I downloaded it to my tablet, and I now listen to it during breaks and all that. I just put the headset in, and I can sit there and listen to it for free. Well, she's reading the hard, because she likes hardcover books, and she
sure
enjoys that. So, you know, whatever's your thing. But it's, you know, both
nice
reading.
To have some his and hers options there.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, I've been a book lover since I could stand up. But I do love e-readers because they are so compact and convenient.
Yeah, that's
it
true.
It used to be when I would really only reuse my e-reader when I went on a trip.
Yeah,
because
right,
you know, I'm gone for a week, I can load a half a dozen books.
And this is lightweight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
The battery lasts forever.
Right. So, but now I use it all the time because it is so convenient. And the e-paper ones that look like paper are very easy on the eyes.
That's
very
true.
Easy to read.
You can read them outside.
You can read them outside. The battery, like you said, lasts weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I easily get 3 weeks.
It only uses electricity. It only uses juice when you're turning a page.
Right. Right. For that split second, and then it goes
right
back to sleep.
Right.
And that's just milliamps.
Right. It's quite amazing. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm very very pleased with my Poke 5. It's very lightweight and it's very easy to use. And I'm glad I've got one.
That's one thing I regret. During high school and that, I was not that big into reading books. It wasn't until my senior year and my history teacher, Harvey Holland.
Okay.
He was a big thing, part of my life that turned a lot of stuff around. Got me reading, because he was always into World War and history of Civil War and all this other stuff. And he got me into that and reading a couple books. And then it's like I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah.
And from, you know, the rest of my senior year on through, I've always enjoyed different, you know, whether it's the Civil War, American Wars, you know, or World War One, Two. I mean, I've read a lot of it, and it's just fascinating that it opened up that world. And, you know, I'm just upset that I didn't get into it sooner and had somebody like him in my life that, you know, turned me on to it. Because, I mean, we were best friends right up until he passed.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we'd always sit there, and if we ran into a good book, we'd, you know,
be sure and share it. Yeah.
Call each other and say, hey, did you read this one yet? And, oh, no, I got to check it out. And we did that for many a year.
Fun.
I've also just put a link to the Onyx books.
Okay.
Poke 5 on our website.
I just got done reading Ready Player 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the sequel to Ready Player 1.
Yeah, I haven't read that one yet.
It's worth it. I mean, it is a young adult thing. But the theme of the book is kind of a nostalgia fest for those of us who lived through the 80s and the pop culture there. This takes place in the future where they're having to essentially figure out a murder mystery. And a lot of the clues are all steeped in 80s lore and relationships that people had. And it was surprising to see that, you know, they were working through and they claimed that they're doing history by playing these vintage video games and arcade versions in order to keep their skills up. And it was
right.
It was
same
all just
with the
a
first
little,
one, yeah.
It was a little on the nose, especially for people who lived through that era. But but it was still a fun read anyway. And it eventually became a Steven Spielberg movie, of course.
Right.
Player One. Player Two is, if you liked Player One, you're going to love Player Two. It's okay. It's the same stuff but bigger.
Thank you.
So highly right recommend that.
Good, nice. Thank you. I will have it on my list. My very, very long list.
Yes.
Our next caller is Art from Webster, New York. Welcome, Art. What's up?
Hello. I got a question for you about DuckDuckGo.
Okay.
The browser.
Yes.
With the search engine, or just the search engine added on to Firefox.
Okay.
All right. What's your question?
So, how good is DuckDuckGo with Windows?
In terms of what? In terms of search? In terms of privacy?
No, the browser, does it work? Have you had any information about, does it work good with Windows, you know, inside Windows? Or
yes, yes.
Oh, I see what you're asking, the app itself.
Yes, I mean, I have not heard anything to the opposite.
Okay. Yeah.
To the contrary.
I just wanted to ask you before I installed it, all the stuff on my computer, you know, if it's working good.
I would say the one thing that might be different compared to what you're used to is that some of the, if you do see ads on it, they may not be as specific to things that you like or things that you're interested in. So just be aware of that, because again, because of the privacy aspect. They're not collecting right. data on you. But in general, no, I haven't heard anything that makes me shy away from recommending it for people who are privacy conscious or very interested in maintaining their anonymity.
Right. So far, everything I've seen about it is very good. So in terms of how well it works, I haven't heard any complaints at all. In terms of it keeping you private and secure, it's very good.
Yeah, I more than anything, just to get away from Google. You know.
Yep.
Yep. Well, if you want to understand them more, you can go to duckduckgo.com, scroll all the way down. The most important link, I think, is almost at the very bottom. It's the See How We Make Money link. So you might wonder, you know, if they're doing this, how do they themselves maintain this and offer it for that you can download for free? And learn more about how they're actually doing it. They say that when you search for a car, they show you a car ad. And they're just using private search ads that way.
Right. So it doesn't link it to you. It just says, oh, you searched for this. I'll show you an ad for this.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
So check it out. Do your research. Think about if that makes sense for you. In general, I've heard very good things about this. People who are into privacy and anonymity, this is something that they have told me works for them.
Okay, very good.
Great. Well, thanks for calling, Art.
All right, thanks. Okay, and I've just put a link to DuckDuckGo on our website as well.
That's good.
I'm very pleased that this...
Johnny on the spot with the links today.
Yeah, I have refined the add a link thing over several years.
I can tell.
It works. And I'm finally happy with it. So, Steve used to have to jump through many hoops to add stuff
right.
to the link list, and now it's just a matter of click, 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 and
poof.
Paste, paste, paste. So
and there it is.
It's much easier, much better. Yeah.
I know of people that have put the DuckDuckGo search engine into their existing browser.
Right.
I don't know. I have not heard as many people that are actually using the DuckDuckGo browser itself.
There are a number of them, like Brave.
Yeah.
It has, you're
yeah,
using
I use it.
Okay.
Like Brave at least has a Linux option, but a Linux browser. But, yeah, they're both designed to be the on Google.
Okay.
Right? You can search without giving Google any of your information. I've also talked about the duck.com web email.
Oh, interesting.
I'll talk about that more when we come back. I use it all the time now, and it is very, very good. All right. That music tells us the first hour of this show is in the books. But do not despair. We've got a whole other hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way. That's right. Another hour of Dave Enright, another hour of Dennis Worster, another hour of me, Nick Francesco, and another hour of you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. You can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. We'll be back with a whole lot more Soundbites on the other side. Don't go too far away. We're coming right back.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 50 years on the air in Rochester.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Let me remind you that Steve Ray is not here today.
That's true.
But shockingly, although normally he would be one step ahead of the law somewhere in the wilds of the Southwest in
That's
the Badlands.
Right. Yes, shaking the snakes out of his boots.
Shaking the snakes out of his boots and out of his head.
Mm-hmm.
He is currently today emceeing at the Ed Van Wagner Memorial Model Air Show. There's a link on our homepage.
And down in beautiful
Palmyra, New York. There's a link on our homepage if you're today and tomorrow, if you're interested in model airplanes. It's a pretty amazing event, and Steve is at that doing some emceeing.
And model airplanes are not the way they used to be. It's mm-hmm. not people running little nitro with glow plugs. I mean, that's still a thing, of course.
But, sure, of course it is.
But now it's, there's electric ducted fans. There are very small jet engines that are about the size of your fist.
People be impressed with some of these so-called model airplanes.
Yeah. No.
Some of them are enormous.
Yeah.
The fuselage is bigger than I am, and I'm a big guy.
No, there are some that are just as big as a car.
Yeah.
They're like model 747s and
it's pretty amazing
military airplanes.
Thing.
And
then when you see, they're trying to do a squadron of
formation flying?
Yeah, formation
good luck.
Flying. Yeah, exactly.
It'd be almost like an Indy car race.
Yeah.
In that, it's
something's
not
gonna
if
happen.
A crash is going to happen. It's when.
You just want
but
to
luckily,
be there, to
there
see
are
it.
No people involved.
No. Nope.
Yes.
No. Nope. Right?
But there's some big
hours
money wrapped
time.
Up in some of these planes, though.
They ain't cheap.
Yeah. I mean, the way Steve talks about, some of these guys, are putting literally, sit down, folks, thousands of dollars in one plane.
Well, yep. You got to have a hobby, right?
Yeah.
You
got to
have a hobby.
Well, I should talk.
Yeah, you should talk. You've probably got more in your radios than he has in his planes.
Yeah, you got. He's got
I don't
planes.
Know. I bet you it's a close race.
You got radios. I've got bikes. It's
and you got bikes. You're probably ahead of all of us because you're all into carbon thing.
Oh, I wish I could afford that.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe someday.
All right. Someday. Before I read the news, let me mention that at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Dan Lyon, the Fraud
event.
And Scams Program Manager of Upstate Elder Abuse Center. Of Lifespan of Greater Rochester, Inc. Did I get all of that in? I think I did.
There you go.
To talk to us a little bit about frauds and scams. There'll be a little Q&A session.
And on that, too, if folks haven't seen it, if you have Amazon Prime, you can now see The Beekeeper.
Oh, yeah. Good action film.
It is a great movie. That it's not about bees.
Okay.
So don't let it distract you. You will find this very interesting because it is actually facts that are happening to people on this day.
Yeah.
These call centers are out there scamming folks. And this is a great movie to attribute to that and maybe wake a few folks up to some of the scams.
Okay. Beekeeper. You said it's on Amazon Prime?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Good one. Very excellent.
Good
All right.
So what else is going on in the news, Nick?
Oh, let me see. I got three stories left and not enough time for all of them. Let's see what we are
going to do. Roll the die. We got a three-sided die?
I got three. I have a three-sided die.
Here it is.
Okay. A vulnerability. This is one of my favorite stories this week.
Okay.
Because we were speaking about how Chrome is okay, but when you add JavaScript and et cetera.
Yeah.
In that vein, a vulnerability found in Microsoft apps for Mac OS allows hackers to spy on Mac users. Security researchers from Cisco Telos reported in a blog post how the vulnerability could be exploited by attackers and what Microsoft has been doing to fix the exploits.
Interesting.
Cisco Telos, a cybersecurity group specializing in malware and system prevention, shared details on how a vulnerability in apps like Microsoft Outlook and Teams could lead attackers to access a Mac's microphone and camera without the user's consent. The attack is based on injecting malicious libraries into Microsoft apps to gain their entitlements and user grant permissions. Apple's Mac OS has a framework known as Transparency Consent and Control, or TCC,
right,
which manages app permissions to access things like location services, camera, microphone, library photos, other files.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
each app needs an entitlement to request permission from TCC. Apps without these requirements, these entitlements, won't even ask for permissions and consequently won't have access to the cameras or files or other parts of the computer. However, the exploit allowed malicious software to use the permissions that have already been granted to Microsoft apps.
That's interesting.
So if you're a Microsoft app, like if you've got Teams on your Mac.
Which I do.
You've had to allow it. You've had to give it entitlements.
Yeah, well, the app gets the entitlements from Apple. That when they submit the app to
Apple,
have to say, hey, we intend to use the camera, we intend to use the microphone.
Right.
Now I've got that app installed on my computer, it also has to check in with me and say, hey, by the way, Teams would like to use your microphone, Teams would like to use your camera, and I say, yes, I want to do video chatting.
Or Teams would like to access your files.
Yes, if you want to upload something to a chat with someone else.
And so once you've given it those permissions...
Yes.
If this malicious app attaches itself to Teams, it gets those permissions.
Right. That's the weird, unusual, different part that we need to figure out.
Right. So, for example, a hacker could create malicious software to record audio from microphone, even take photos without any user interaction. All apps except for Excel have the ability to record audio. Some can even access the camera. According to Cisco Talos, Microsoft considers this exploit to be low risk, since it relies on loading unsigned libraries to support third-party plugins. But after the exploits were reported, Microsoft updated Teams and OneNote for Mac OS with changes to how these apps handle the library validation entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
However, Excel, PowerPoint, Word, and Outlook are still vulnerable to the exploit. The researchers questioned why Microsoft had the need to disable library validation, especially when additional libraries are not expected to be loaded. By using this entitlement, Microsoft is circumventing the safeguards offered by the hardened runtime, potentially exploiting its users to unnecessary risks. Of course, that's what they do on Windows, too, so why wouldn't they do it on the Mac?
Yeah.
At the same time, the researchers note that Apple could also implement changes to the TCC to make the system more secure. The group suggests that the system should prompt users when loading third-party plugins into apps that already have permissions. Are you using Microsoft Office on a Mac? Why? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415.
Yeah, the number one answer is going to be, work makes me do it.
Well, yes.
But it doesn't so much anymore.
I mean, I've talked about this a million times. I have used LibreOffice. I used LibreOffice for the last 20 years I was at work. I worked in Saunders College of Business at RIT. They were a Microsoft house.
Oh, all the way.
Absolutely no question.
Floor to ceiling.
I could read every document people send me. Everybody could read every document I sent them. And yet I never touched a Microsoft product.
It's the safe choice, right?
It's 20 years.
The nobody got fired for buying IBM,
software
version.
Right. The best part, the absolute best part, faculty would come to me and say, I was working on my document and I pulled a plug, I did this, whatever I did.
Corrupted it.
It's corrupted. Can you fix it? Well, in Word, when you load a document, if it comes to a corrupted section, it gives up.
I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. It quits. In OpenOffice, it says, well, I can't read this part, but I can read the part after it.
Right.
So I'll load all of that.
I'll load the things I can.
So I would hand it back to them and say, I got 95% of your thing back. They were ecstatic.
Oh, because when you write something, it's never as good the second time.
Well, exactly right.
So no wonder they're excited.
Exactly right. So So that's a trade secret I never gave anybody while I was there, but now I don't work there anymore. So
your statute of limitations is up.
So
the thing I've been noticing is that Microsoft's web apps have been getting better and better almost by the quarter. And I've been using Word online and Excel online. I haven't tried PowerPoint very much, but even just the Word and Excel stuff, if you don't want to have a gigabyte for each taken up by each Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, and you want to save some drive space, or maybe you've got an older laptop that doesn't have a lot of drive space, then using the web tools that they have now, they're so much better than they used to be. Now, the call came about because they had a lot of competition from Google Apps. But
Google Apps are amazing.
And they're very good.
Yeah, and they were taking a lot of people away from the Microsoft stuff.
And I think Microsoft figured out how to do, I won't say every feature, but I think the vast majority, the big meaty middle that 90% of people need is there.
Yep.
And
yeah, but that's also true of Google Docs and of Works.
Sure.
Whatever they call it this week on Apple.
the iCloud apps.
iCloud apps, yeah.
Well, that's the beauty of it. I mean, I was able at work, wanted to recreate this phone list. Nobody could find it. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And I went home and didn't take long to do it in a spreadsheet, of course, in Google Docs.
Sure.
So I said, do you want to see it? And she goes, yeah, my boss. So I quick opened up my phone, went to the Google. I says, there it is. And she goes, where is this document? I says, up in the cloud. She goes, wait a minute, aren't you using Word or that? I said, no, I use Google Docs. It's free. And a couple other folks around me go, there's free stuff out there? Yeah, you can use Google Docs, it'll spreadsheets, Word, all that stuff. I said, oh, I was wondering, because I, you know, they get in the advertisements for the Windows 365 and all that.
Sure.
And
yep.
It's like, sure. I said, no, I do it here. And I says, and I can give it to you in a PDF. I says, I can download it and put, you know, give it to you as multiple platforms.
Or I can link to it and let you edit it yourself.
Right.
Yeah. So they go, oh, that's great. When are you going to have it? I says, I'll have it by Sunday to you. And we can, now I can give you the file and you can store it wherever you want and modify it.
Sure. Yeah.
No, the ability to, and I think Google was probably one of the first companies to do this online, especially over the internet, is to the ability for multiple people to all connect to the same document and work on it at once. So if you're used to working on word processing documents, you know there's a little cursor, and wherever that is, when you type things, that's where those letters will appear. When you work with multiple people, each person gets their own cursor, and Google knows how to take all the input from all the different people and put it into the same document at a time. So this, we found a really neat way to leverage this at the conference that I attend every summer, where a number of us would sit in the conference and want to take notes, but nothing was as helpful as all of us taking notes into the same document and writing down, oh, these are the questions that got asked, and oh, here's how the speaker responded to that. And the other person would go and correct misspellings or change the formatting or go find the link to the thing that the speaker talked about and put it in. And we just grabbed the share link and posted that on Twitter or in a text chain that all of us were part of, and then we would all go in together and edit things all together. It was so much more powerful to have multiple people doing it. So now, 10 years later, you'll find dozens of people all in the same document and having side conversations in there talking about, well, you know, but the speaker said this thing, and that's true in this circumstance, but don't forget about this other thing that's more common. And it's become such a big, helpful resource. Now I'm hearing that middle school and high schoolers are doing the same thing when they sit down in a classroom.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Where they're using Chromebooks in the classroom, and they're all working together, crowdsourcing the notes and helping each other. And I grew up in an era when education was a very individual pursuit. Yep. You know, you were working on your work, and the person sitting next to you was working on their work. And the goal was, don't you dare look at what they're doing. They're not supposed to look at what you're doing.
No collaboration.
And collaboration was not part of what was happening. But I think today, in many places, it's really helpful to have that collaboration. Because when you get out to the workforce, collaboration is the norm. It's not the exception.
Right. And you can easily set it granularly. So, for example, the Soundbites caller log. There's a link on our webpage. Anybody can look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Only Steve and I can edit it.
Right.
So you can have different people with different access.
Yeah, limitations. Yep.
Very cool. It's very cool. And you know, if you're still in any sort of, I share documents with my family, just with my family.
Sure.
right? So they can see things that no one else can see. They can edit or just view or whatever it is. I'm sure if you think about it, you'll find a whole bunch of reasons, ways to use this thing. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Walter from Greece, New York. What's up, Walter?
Hi there to everybody. Your early caller had about his Google, Yahoo search engine.
Yep.
I was curious as to how he accessed his Google search, because I use Firefox and I have made DuckDuckGo my home page. What I'm getting at is, did he accidentally go ahead and make Yahoo his home page instead of having it Google at first, so this way he doesn't know he's looking at Yahoo being his search engine because it's his home page?
Right. You know, there's several different ways that that the symptom he was describing could have manifested itself. Right. So there's a possibility that he may have changed his homepage, like you said, from whatever it was. And more often than not, I imagine it's Google.com, but it could be anything. Literally, that's the whole point.
Yeah. Without seeing the computer in front of us.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we're just trying to envision what he did, you know, and that's about all we can do, like Dennis is saying.
There's at least two other ways that could have happened. And then the fourth way is that a piece of malware could have come in and attempted to redirect requests, but also pretend to make them look like they're coming from Yahoo or pretend to make them look like they're coming from somewhere else.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. But I was curious, as I say, when he starts up his browser, what was his homepage to be?
And that's an excellent point, Walter.
Yeah, no, that's yet another possibility.
Thank you.
Okay, hey, take care, guys.
Thank you very much. It's exactly right. What Ken could have done is he or someone or some piece
Windows,
of software.
Windows, I mean, every time it does an update, I have to go back in there and say, yes, make Google my search engine, because
it wants Bing.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's like, no, I don't want that piece up.
Stop trying to make Bing happen, people.
Right. Stop trying to make Bing a thing.
It's not.
But something could have made Yahoo's homepage, and none of us thought of it. Thank you, Walter.
That's true.
Very much. So, Ken, it just may be as simple as
in the settings
changing
there,
your homepage.
Let him.
Maybe
there was in the settings there.
Well, like that's one of the ways, yeah.
Yeah, you can go into on the upper right-hand corner, the three little dots. You click on that, scroll down to settings, and over on the right-hand side are all the what you want for a default search engine, what you want for a browser. You can change all those settings in there.
Right.
And change them.
So one of the things you could change is your home page. And so, for example, you know, my home page is my to-do list, or as I have titled it, Nick's Ignored To-Do List.
But I think you were
lonely items.
Going back a second, though, is I think he had some type of virus or bug in there that it was listed multiple times. That sounds like some spyware got in there and tried to, you know,
more than once,
tried to fool, you know, what it wants and what it is. So, yeah, I would definitely suggest doing both super anti-spyware and malware bytes as far as scanning your machines. Go to the Security Tango and dance the tango.
Yeah, right.
It's true.
And you will see at the Security Tango, which is, by the way, at the very obscure URL of securitytango.com.
That's tango with an O.
It's tango with an O. It is. If you go to securitytango.com, there's a thing across the top, a menu across the top. And
you have to click on Let's Dance, right?
And you have to click on Let's Dance, and then you have a choice of which operating system you're using.
Okay.
And I hit all of them. So if you've got Windows or Linux or Android or Mac or iPhone, there's a different thing for each one. And so you can go to that particular page and follow along. I believe all of them, but I know for the window one, if you print it out, you get little checkboxes.
Oh,
so
nice.
You can go down through the list.
Tick them off as you go.
Tick them off as you go. And it's important to do that because you don't want to skip a step. As I say in the system, that's why I call it a tango, because it's a dance. if you skip a step, you're not dancing anymore. You're just stumbling around.
Mm.
So don't stumble around. Do the dance. That's what it's for. So, I think you'll find. And while you're there, I have merch.
Fantastic.
I have t-shirts and sweatshirts and stuff. So,
all right, I want to tell you about something I got recently that's amazing. That I was so surprised by how much I liked it.
Yes.
Once I got it. So for Father's Day this past year, my wife knows that I'm into cycling, and she has a vested interest in me being as safe as possible while I am cycling, because it is not an inherently safe sport.
No, it is not.
And gets less safe by the year. So I'm a road cyclist. I'm a roadie, we call ourselves. And
I know what other people call you.
Yeah.
The number one thing that we worry about is automobiles, because automobiles are much larger than us and move much faster than us and contain a lot of kinetic energy that they can use to do work on us. And that is not what we'd prefer, that we just don't touch.
Right.
If at all possible. So my wife, knowing that number one, I like to ride a bike, and number two, I like to ride a bike on the road, and number three, the cars are a danger, knows that, and number four, I'm a gadget guy. She knows that there's a company named Garmin who is famous for making navigation aids, originally probably for the military and now just for average folks like you and I. Now they have a device that you can connect onto your seat post, so right under your seat where you sit, and it faces backwards, and it's got a blinky red light on it, and everybody can see it when you're riding, and it blinks nicely, makes you very visible to motorists.
Nice.
But that's not all.
There's more.
There are different models. One has the blinky light, and another has a camera built into the middle of the blinky light, so you can take a picture of everybody who's following you, and you can review it later. So if there's somebody who wants to decide to be less than friendly to you, you can make sure that you have their license plate and proceed accordingly. That's really nice. The other thing that all of these have is a built-in radar. It shoots out back behind you, and it relays its information to a device that you have up on your handlebars, and it draws a big vertical line up the display, and the line is you and everything behind you. When a car appears, a little dot appears on the display. As the dot gets closer to the top of the screen, the car is getting closer to you. If there are more than one car behind you, there's more than one dot behind you. If the car behind you makes a turn off onto a side street, the dot goes away. But every time a dot appears, a little chirp happens. And I've been cycling for a long time, you know, since I was preteen. And in the past, I've relied upon my hearing to know when there's a car behind me. And when you're a kid, your hearing is pretty good. And as you get older, it's less good. This unit, I was thinking to myself, okay, well, let me ride and see when I hear a car. I won't even look down at the display. When I hear a car, I'll look down at the display and say, all right, how good are my ears? How was it compared to what this is capable of? So a car goes by, and I look down, and it was about two-thirds of the way up the screen. It's two-thirds of the way. That means I can get three times the notice of a vehicle behind me by using this little device. And now my wife knows that I will know when there are cars coming up from behind me, because we ride on the same side of the road. That's the primary way that people generally have trouble. The other way is when people make a left-hand turn in front of you, and we call that the left hook in the cycling world. So please do watch out for people cycling. They would like to get home to their loved ones just as much as you'd like to get where you're going. And we promise we are not actively intending to impede you. We're all just trying to use the road together.
One other thing I would say for my for bicyclists, because I saw it actually happen. I was up on Park Ave one time, sitting there having coffee with my late wife, and a cyclist was coming up, you know, just going across, and somebody had just parked on Park Ave. Swung their door open.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Look before you get out, folks.
Yeah, there's a thing for that that they do in the Netherlands. They call it the Dutch reach, where they'll reach over with their right hand, open the door with their right hand, because it forces you to rotate around and look behind you.
Yep.
So give that a try. I know.
Be careful with people on the road. This is that time of year.
Be nice to each other.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco, and you. and we're going to do the special, as a matter of fact. So you won't see us, but you'll hear Dan Lyons. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I'm Nick Francesco from Soundbites every Saturday from noon till 2 on Jazz 90.1. Today we're talking to Dan Lyon, who's the Fraud and Scams Program Manager from Upstate Elder Abuse Center at Lifespan of Greater Rochester, New York. So, Dan, some quick questions about scams and frauds, because I know this is, everybody needs to know this stuff. Robocalls or automated calling systems are seemingly constant right now. Is there any way to minimize them?
Well, good afternoon there, Nick, and thanks for having Lifespan on your show at Jazz 90.1. The simple thing we should think about when it comes to our robocalls is, first and foremost, whom is our service provider? I would tell someone, you know, depending upon their service provider, pick one, anyone, they easily should be going into their store, if they're not familiar with their phone usage, and have scam blocking placed upon their phone. Now, scam blocking is free for all cell phone users in New York State. That's because of a law that was passed in 1999 that requires the service provider to make available the technology of scam blocking. So whether it be Verizon, Cellular One, Sprint, Consumer, Cellular, any one of these, or in Spectrum, all have to make available to their consumers the availability of scam blocking. So the first thing we should be doing is ensuring that on our cell phones we have scam blocking enabled on our phone and or the app. If we don't, and if we can't figure out how to do it ourselves by using the settings, then simply bring the phone to any service provider's storefront, and the customer service rep and or the manager there should have no problem but to take the phone from the customer and simply add it.
Nice. So if I'm a Verizon customer, I go to Verizon. If I'm a Sprint customer, I go to Sprint, whatever that is.
Correct. And it's free of charge. There's no charge for that. And that's the first step I would be recommending to people, is make sure they have it. And people sometimes ask me, well, how do I know if I don't already have it? You already know you have it if your phone reads to you scam likely or scam potential when your phone rings. Now you know it's already enabled upon your phone. You need to not go to the service provider. You already got it enabled.
Yeah, I get a lot of completely random phone numbers. How are you today? How's it going?
And when they're coming through, whether it be on a phone call and or a text message, we're not answering it. I would tell people, I would strongly encourage that anyone with a cell phone, it's great technology until we aren't using it properly.
Right.
Let this technology work for you. It's expensive equipment, so let us do its job. Let your voicemail always answer the phone on any and all calls, unless the call ringing in is someone already saved upon your contact list. Now, when it comes to businesses, many people are going to see a banking institution, perhaps their own banking institution, calling them. Again, your bank institution is probably not saved on your contact list on your cell phone. Always allow those calls to go to voicemail. Scammers are not leaving messages, and they're not going to leave you a message. It's a spoofed call.
One of the things I really like about the newer Android phones is they have a call screen button. When a call comes in, I can just hit screen, and this automated thing comes up and says, tell us what you want. 99.999% of the time, they just hang up.
And now you know that was a computer from a scammer who sent out a blast to, you know, millions of cell phone providers and users, hoping to, you know, capture a very small percentage of people picking up the phone.
Right, right. It doesn't cost them. It is expensive to do that, but they can blast out millions of calls, and they don't have to get a lot of people to make their money back.
That they're making so much money, it's mind-boggling, the amount of money they're pilfering out of the consumer here in the United States, and they take great pride in doing such. So whatever we can do to prevent that from happening is strongly encouraged. First is certainly, you know, make sure you got scam blocking already enabled on your phone. Second, don't answer the call when someone's calling you unless they're in your contact list already saved on your phone.
Right. I will one more little anecdote. I got a call from a phone I did not recognize. I call screened it, and a voice I did recognize say, "Nick, I need some computer advice." I answered. It turns out that person had just bought a new phone with a new number. So now they're in my contact list.
Another little piece of the puzzle is with new AI technology, it's going to become easier and easier for someone to copy someone else's voice using AI technology. So even with the voice recognition, still got to be a little wary at
times.
That's
true. That's absolutely true. All right, moving on to, scammers often ask for really odd methods of payment. Are there any that are obvious red flags?
There's multiple red flags. And let's go through them. If you are ever asked to pay in any of the following formats, you immediately should be thinking, this is a scam. This is not good. And no legitimate person or business asks a person to pay this way. First and foremost is certainly something that never goes out of fashion. That's just simply cold hard cash. So anytime you're asked to put cold hard cash in a box or in an envelope and send it, that's a scam. That clearly that is. And when I'm saying cash, Nick, I'm not saying you know, $10 in a birthday card. When these scammers are hooked into someone that they think they're going to potentially pilfer, you know, much money from, they're not looking for $10. They're looking for $2,000. They're looking for, you know, hundreds of dollars in an envelope or in a box. So cash, first and foremost, never send cash through the mail. Second form of payment, they're always going to like to use, similar to cash, and easily to use as cash, is gift cards. Gift card purchases. Now, a law was passed just a little over a year ago here in New York State. If you are in any store now in New York State which sells gift cards, you'll see a warning sign. That warning sign is about scammers. And there's a valid reason for that, because the payment method that scammers often ask for, if it's not cash, will be gift cards. And I see a lot of that here at Lifespan with the clients I'm currently dealing with. And when I say gift cards, they're not looking for $10 gift cards or $25 gift cards for a birthday present. They're asking you to go buy a gift card for $500 or for $100. And then what they're going to ask is for you to take your phone out, because who doesn't have a cell phone now? Use the camera feature, take a picture of the front of the gift card, and a picture of the back of the gift card, once you scratch off that gray bar revealing the identification numbers. This way, the scammer knows, based upon the picture on the front, what the denomination is that you are sending them, $100. And once they see the back and can see clearly read the numbers and the letters for the, you know, the identification number, your money is spent the minute they can, you know, type that into their computer, because they just purchased something with it.
Right.
Oftentimes they'll spend the whole thing or leave only pennies on it.
Right.
So cash, gift cards, one and two. Third, oftentimes we are asked to pay via cryptocurrency. Now, there's many people that are less familiar with cryptocurrency or electronic currency, but no worries. The scammers are good. Nick, they're pros at this, and they will easily walk someone through the process, holding their hand, talking them through step by step on how to go purchase at their local store a cryptocurrency exchange. And what they're doing is they know your address. So what they're doing is they're typing to you or telling you over the phone, I see you live at such and such address, but right around the corner, you're going to find a Red Apple. Go in there, you'll find a crypto machine. So they know, based upon your address, where the nearest crypto machines are, and they're going to direct you to that machine to make a cryptocurrency exchange. That's your third one. Fourth, next is wire and or bank transfers. Here in Rochester, if you were paying attention to the Democrat Chronicle here just 2 weeks ago, your local FBI here in Rochester, New York, were reporting in the Democrat Chronicle the move money to protect money often associated with bank transfers and wire transfers, where you're directed to move the money to protect the money, or you're sending money via these two methods of payment. Now, this method of payment is not typical, so again, the scammer will hold the hand of someone who's less than familiar with how to do a bank transfer and walk them through the process to send a $5,000, $25,000 wire transfer. That sounds like big money, and it is for a lot of people, but that's the amount of money we are regularly seeing being wire transferred. It's $10,000, it's $15,000. Next, peer-to-peer payment. Whether it be Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, our scammers are certainly willing to take your money if you're willing to pay this way. So when it comes to Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, be wary of how you're paying and whom you're paying. Be mindful that typical legitimate businesses are not ordinarily taking these methods of payment, any one of them. And of course, last but not least, a simple check. Writing a check, be mindful who you're sending that check to. Is it someone you know? Is it someone you've met? Have you vetted them? If you have not met them and you have not vetted them, then you better be wary of sending the check to someone named Nick. Because guess what, Nick? You may not be a real person. And next thing we know, we're going to be out a lot of money.
Right.
So these forms of payment are all simply as good as cold hard cash. They're all equal, and that's why scammers use them. They know the minute you hit send or transfer, then your money is gone, and it's out of your hands and in theirs. And when it comes to bank and or wire transfers, the banking institutions have enabled a small window and an opportunity to capture and pull back a transfer. But by the time most people realize what's going on, it's beyond the 24-hour limit. So it's 24 hours upon hit and send or transfer that you have to get it returned to you. And right. These scammers are prepared for you to send said money. They're waiting on the opposite end of wherever you're wiring to simply, as soon as it arrives at the account that they're directing you to send it to, they're pulling it and moving it, which means you're not getting it back, even if you're within the 24 hours.
Right. It's gone. It's gone money. Second.
Correct.
Thing. Yeah.
None of those methods of payment are FDIC protected.
Right. And that's a big part of it, too. All right, Dan, thank you so very much. This is very valuable information. Thank you for taking the time to do this. Thank you for being part of this show. I'm Nick Francesco for Soundbites. I'm member-supported Jazz 90.1.
That was Dan Lyon, the Fraud and Scams Program Manager of Upstate Elder Abuse Center at Lifespan of Greater Rochester, New York, Incorporated.
Wow.
Got it all out in one breath.
Nice.
I also have put together a small page about scams and where you can get assistance for them. It's at soundbites.org/scams. And it's got a bunch of links to the FTC for reporting fraud, the FBI's Crime Complaint Center, where you can Internet Crime and Complaint Center, where you can file a complaint, the New York State Office of Victim Services, where you can file a claim, a link to Upstate Elder Abuse Center at Lifespan, and a bunch of bullet points on important things to know to keep yourself safe. You should read those over yourself. Feel free to share that page, print it or forward it or do anything you want to it to anybody you feel would benefit from this information. We talk, this whole thing, Dan is the manager for Upstate Elder Abuse, but it's not just old people who are being hit with this stuff. Pretty much everybody is, and you need to know it.
He did an excellent job of carefully and thoughtfully laying things out in a very factual, very matter-of-fact way to say, hey, by the way, don't stick large amounts of cash in envelopes. By the way, don't do things via PayPal or Venmo or what have you. Don't do them. Don't give them a credit card. Don't go buy gift cards for them.
Yeah, anytime, which we've stated on this show, anytime somebody says, well, to pay your bill, you got to go get iTunes cards.
Right.
Or target that. No, never will happen in my lifetime or anybody else's. Will other places accept third-party gift cards?
Well, right.
Yeah.
The thing is, you read them, they make you take a picture of the front and back, or they make you read them the number off the back.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute you do that, they empty out the gift card. It's gone. It's done. You can't get your money back.
Right. No, it's true. And he's making a good point about things like EFTs, if you're doing bank transfers. That's another thing. And that feels way more legitimate than asking somebody to go buy a gift card for Amazon and then read them the code on the back.
Right.
Or to mail them a check or to what have you. You know, those are all ways that feel much more legitimate. And it's good that he's bringing those all together in one big list. Just in general.
And like I said, I've got a list on our website about that stuff. And one of the big things is they are social engineers. You know, we've talked about magicians.
Yeah.
Psychics.
Yeah.
Fake psychics who can cold read someone. These people do the same thing over the phone. They cold read you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They make everything sound so urgent.
Oh, yes.
And important. We are going to come after you. We're going to take you to jail if you don't do this immediately. You have 2 hours to go and get gift cards and bring them back.
Scare tactics, especially exactly right. For the elderly.
Exactly right. Well, I told you I got a phone call about my son was in jail and needed money, and this person would go and get it for them.
Right.
And, you know, two things. One, I don't have a son.
No.
And two, my daughter was sitting on the couch right next to me. So I turned to her and said, A, have you had a sex change? And B, are you currently in jail?
That would be no and no.
She looked at me as if to say,
what are you drinking?
Typical sort of thing my father would ask me. Yeah,
it sounds about Dad.
But that's the kind of thing they do. And he was adamant. He said, he's in jail. They're gonna put him in jail for the rest of his life. We need bail right now. He's in with a bunch of bad guys who are looking at him funny. We need you to get this money and send it to me so I can get him out of jail.
Right.
Well, the thing to do in that particular case, hang up, call your son. Call his cell phone. If he answers, ask him if he's in jail. If he says no, it was a scam.
If he says yes, say, do they allow cell phones in jail now?
Yeah, exactly. but they make it, you know, we're the IRS, and you didn't, you know, you owe us money. If you don't pay it, we'll take your house. Well, I don't want them to take my house. Of course I'll pay it.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a good YouTube one where a scammer calls this woman at the police station.
Oh, yeah.
She's a captain.
Yeah. She was the sheriff.
She was a captain on this police force, and he is going on and on saying, you know, threatening her that they're going to call the police. They're literally minutes away, that she's got to sit there and give her this information, and she just strung him along. Oh, so you're coming to arrest me? You know, and it was funny. But, you know, they don't even realize who they're calling at times.
No, it's random numbers. It's
yeah, and they're
numbers.
Trying to hit that, especially that one person that all of a sudden they can spark a sense of fear. What? What do you mean? All my money's going to be gone? You know,
right.
And that's what, once they get a hold of that sense that there's fear in that, they lock onto it and then lay into their whole script.
Mm. Well, and then particularly at Christmas time, there's the, your package could not be delivered.
Oh, yeah.
I still get a couple of those.
Or I get a couple.
So
I got one this week.
It's held in London or far away. Just right. They're in with immigration or whoever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I just got right. one said, Postal Service is still holding one of my packages. And I go... Oh, I didn't order anything.
The big thing is, when you order something these days, you get a tracking list. You can go to the website and track your tracking number. So you can go to the website, put in the tracking number,
yeah,
and track your package.
Yeah.
So if somebody says your package is delayed in London and it's
right.
whatever, if you do have a package coming, if you don't have a package coming, there's your answer.
Yeah.
But if you do have a package coming... Go to that email you got, click on the link, and track your package. I have to admit, I'm obsessive about tracking my packages. I you know, the minute I get the tracking
yeah.
number,
mm-hmm. it's exciting.
It's a tab.
Yes, because it's going on a journey, and I get
yeah,
to see
you
where
can
is
see,
it gone.
You see.
Oh, look, where it is now.
Exactly.
Hey, honey, come here. Look at this.
Look. It's in
Buffalo.
It's in Buffalo.
Oh, honey, it's only three stops away.
Exactly. Yes, because some of them will actually tell you what stop they're at.
On the truck, yeah.
So
yeah,
there
well,
are times when I've met the guy at the door.
Amazon's very good at it. They'll
yeah.
send you a message, you're 10 stops away from your place. So you can sit there looking for it.
It gets very exciting.
There's
know?
One time I met
it's
the guy
like
at the door.
Santa.
He was coming up the walk. I opened the door. He said, you were tracking me. I said, yes, I was.
But yes, one of the other tips I have is no matter where you get your tracking number from, whichever shipper it happens to be, pasting it into Google will immediately take you to their particular page. So whether that's FedEx or UPS or
right.
DHL or whoever it is, pasting that into Google will redirect you to
and if it's not
place.
A legit number,
it'll
Google
kick it
will
back.
Tell you that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it, there are ways to know whether or not you're getting legit information and to follow the legit information. And yes, it takes a little bit of time and effort on your part, but it's well worth it to save the money. I have friends who work in banks and they talk all the time about people who, you know, they come in and they say, I have to take out $10,000. Well, what for?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to send it
Is
to the IRS.
Is everything okay? Yeah.
Right. No. No, that's not how the IRS works. And you know, often the banks will help you with that if you go in to get that. Or, you know, they'll come in and say, I just bought $10,000 worth of gift cards and the money's gone. What happened? Okay, now it's too late. You got scammed. I'm sorry. But there are places you can talk to, like, and they're on that list of at soundbites.org/scams. Federal Trade Commission, the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, the New York State Office of Victim Services. Those are all places where you can talk to a person about scams and what happened and what you're doing. And there's a consumer alerts mailing list that the FTC puts out that you
okay.
should be on. And I've got a link to that there as well.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And that's it for this show. I want to thank everybody who called in. I particularly want to thank Dan Lyon of the Elder Abuse Center at Lifespan
yeah.
for his assistance. He did
so well.
Great stuff. And we're done for another week. Thanks to Dave Enright. Thanks to Dennis Worcester.
Happy to
who
do
took
it.
Time off from saving the known universe to come in here and hang with us and share in his knowledge and experience. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites next week. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, would you?